Drew and George talk to people sometimes.
Watch out now.
Yeah.
My song's on, I gotta get my grub on some Toto. All the three buckets of Momo, we getting more dough. Off the book, you getting jelly, pulling more hoes off the look. You getting jelly, you wanna hate me, cause your wife B wants to autograph. Yeah, look in her eyes, I can see she wants
backyard. Yes, it's a backyard. Yeah, this is Cordon Steel with Highland Park dirt inside of it, which will grow cactus aromatics. Like, fuck your face.
Fuck your face with
those things.
Hold on, hold all the fucking other facing. Mm-mm. Hello. And welcome. This is Drew and George talk to people sometimes. That's George Basil.
That's Drew Brooks. We have a very special guest tonight. It's tonight.
It's the nighttime, and that's the right time.
That's Adam Lustig.
What's up? George called me Andy about an hour ago.
I did, at a bar. I introduced him to someone that I don't know her name. That's the problem. And so I was just like, hello, don't know. This is Andy, who I do know. But that's not his name.
Minor alterations to my name are the joke to me that keeps on giving. Mm. Andy's and Allen's. I would like to be an Allen more than I want to be an Allen.
You tell me this.
He said that he went to a Disney World.
Yeah.
With Disneyland or Disney World?
Disney World in Orlando with my family for a week. The whole trip I tried to get them to call me Allen instead of Adam.
In Orlando.
In Orlando. Just like we're in a new place and I can like adopt a different personality. Just I want to be Allen.
I get it. That's your favorite name?
It's
what would
my favorite.
You rather be called?
Allen.
Allen. That's so boring.
Just and it's like two clicks over from Adam. Just two
in,
small clicks.
In two different parts, yeah. It's two small clicks.
I love how your fantasy is only a small degree to the right or left.
Tiny. I called him Andy, which could have been your name.
It could have been my name. It
was yikes,
my name.
Dude.
It could have been
if
my
you
name.
Were an Andy, I'd crush your glass.
I know. And I was when I was a child.
You were Andy?
I was
as a
Andy.
Kid?
My Nana called me Andy for years, and I was like, it's true. Shut up.
Andy
I'm a
Andrews?
Drew now.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever go full Andrew? Or like
that was when I got in trouble. Yeah. That was when I got in trouble.
Andrew.
Andrew Michael Brooks.
Yeah.
Just disappointment. Mm-hmm. And every time I hear my full name, even if it's at the DMV, I'm like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
For mm-hmm. everything I've done.
You know what my formal name is that when I would hear, I would be scared of punishment and stuff? Yorga!
Yorga?
Yeah,
that sounded Yorgo. Like a dragon Yorgo. Screaming.
Wait, that's how do you pronounce it?
Yorgo.
Yorgo.
Yeah. Yorgo.
The G is so soft, you don't even connect it with your throat. It's not like
Yorgo. It's not even in your throat. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's not in your throat, it's in your belly, dog.
Yeah, Yorgo.
I want to talk to the listeners for a second. I want to say thanks for listening.
Yeah.
This is episode 14.
Yeah, Adam was episode 7 or 8
some
or something.
Point,
right in the middle. I come in at the touchdowns, right at the extra point. 7, yeah. 14, 21.
You were a blast. You talked about your trip to Peru.
Oh,
that's
yeah,
an exciting
right.
throwback.
Yeah. We're going to have you back as cool. like another, like a full on.
Love that.
Because yeah. we want to hear more about your second trip to Peru, which
absolutely.
Was...
Yeah, that's right. I've actually been 4 or 5 more times since we last spoke. I just popped to Peru for the weekends.
You're just that so guy. You're an international jet setter.
Only
just
one other nation, though. I'm in one internation traveler.
You're
just to Peru.
Internation. Yeah, just to Peru.
International travel.
I love it. Your name's Alan, you go to Peru, and that's the bottom line.
The only two things you need to know about me. Who's the guest on this show?
The guest on this show is an amazing man named Andrew.
Such a good dude.
Yeah. Bofinger.
And speaking of Andrews,
yeah.
his name is Andrew
goes
Bofinger.
By Boff.
Goes by Boff.
And I love that.
And he's a beast.
How do you call a man Boff and not want to just like hug his ass?
Hug his sweet, sweet ass.
I want to Boff his Boff ass. Wait, but his name is, what's his full actual name?
Andrew Bofinger.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not spelled like the movie, is it? Like B-O-W? Finger?
B-O-W, no.
No,
I think
B-O-F.
It's B-O-F.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. He is from...
South. Louisiana.
Louisiana. Yeah, I don't know. I can't remember if he was from Opelousas or if he was from like NOLA proper.
Mm-hmm.
But with the way that he spoke about the cuisine, I mean,
if this episode, and I'm talking to the listeners out there, again, one more time, thanks for listening. We love you. But if you aren't hungry by the time this episode closes out,
then you listen to it at different times on different
days. Or you just eaten.
Yeah, or
you just eaten.
You know what,
hungry.
Alan?
Absolutely.
You're fucking right.
If you had just eaten a big meal or something and you listen to it, then you probably wouldn't be hungry. But
that's true. It might make you nauseous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your appetite might be completely deaf.
But point being, this dude knows about Cajun cuisine.
And he knew about a ton of shit, man.
Oh, like a ton of
stuff. A ton of shit. And I remember we had a beer. Didn't we have a couple draft beers?
I don't want to get into that.
You're absolutely right.
Because it was a late night, as it is right now.
Yeah.
It's a late night right now. The podcast was late night. You know why? Because we are not on schedules.
No.
We are not on schedules, George.
We're hanging out under the Chinese elm.
Exactly. Adult babies with motor skills.
What's interesting about this intro is we are outdoors once again.
Yes, again.
And it's so exciting. Yep. But again, this is episode 14.
Please enjoy it. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you to Adam Lustig,
our dear friend,
for being here. Thanks for having me. Thank you for having me.
Some Apollyon niggas who campaign to the killers who be loving the chicas and champagne. Thugs who be wild in the club and snatch chain. Players who be pimping the holes with no brains.
Are you excited to be here?
I'm very excited.
good, great. Andrew,
might be a little nervous, but
Andrew, don't be nervous and thank you for coming.
I'm not nervous about me. I'm nervous like what you guys might get me stuck.
Yeah, we might.
Recorded,
we might
talking yeah. about.
We might say. Ask you a couple of questions. These shorts will get shorter.
Yeah, those are tiny, but
yeah, they're gonna.
Who
get...
wears short shorts? You answered the age-old question.
Drew wears short shorts.
That's the answer, guys. I am a short short fan. It was Father's Day recently. A lot of Father's Day pictures of like. Dad's like doing the short short thing. I think it's awesome. I think it's very cool. I don't know. For me, it was cool, like seeing those.
I wanted to post a picture of my dad because he looks like a maniac. He's got a huge white beard and long hair like mine, and like that's atypical. He hasn't been like that all his life. He was like high and tight, Marine cut, shaved every single morning, like very military sort of authority guy. But in the last few years, he's done that for work. And then I was like, wait, if I posted that, the caption that I would write is basically like, this guy kills people, but in secret. So don't tell anybody, but here's his picture. I love you, Dad. And that wouldn't have
every Father's Day.
Yeah, every other day.
Do you think he's trying to be more like you now? You think you're influencing your dad?
I hope so, man. If so, he's got a long way to go. You hear me, Dad? I'm going to fucking bury you.
You're turning into the killer.
Now I'm the killer.
He's like father, like son.
Is patricide when you kill your dad?
I don't know.
There's a word for it.
Killing your father. Yeah, that sounds right. I think you might suddenly be right.
It's murder. Yes. First degree murder is what
premeditated.
Let me ask you this question, Andrew. Do you know anybody that was murdered? Do you know any murder stories growing up or anything like that?
I do, actually.
Oh, can we? Is it okay if we hear it? Is it all right for the?
Yeah.
All right, great. What happened? Tell us, please.
All right, I'm not going to put any names out there, but
Fill in the names.
Okay. So, in the town where I'm from, Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Sweet.
There was this kid. And he murdered... I'm friends with his sister.
Okay. We'll call her Stirantana.
Okay.
That's exhausting.
He murdered their mom and tried to kill their dad.
Damn.
Like, stabbed the mom, stabbed the dad. Dad lived. And the radio, the news blamed it on... He had been listening to This Is the End by The Doors.
No.
And that song is banned in Baton Rouge. You can't play it on the radio.
Because of that?
Yeah.
Because of like a single incident.
Yeah.
Wow, that is so interesting. And that's the one thing the media picked up on is like he was listening to this fucking...
Yeah.
What a bunch of dopes.
So he killed his mother. He stabbed his dad. Dad lived. But dad it was lived. Because he was influenced by the song This Is the
He had been listening to that song over and over again. And then when the cops showed up, he was sitting on the back of his parents' Volvo. And he said that he had been listening to that song.
Wow, that is pretty crazy.
Yeah, but do you guys remember that Ozzy Osbourne shit that went down when we were kids where it was like...
Yeah, he bit the bat's head off or something?
Yeah, but some kid somewhere USA... like tried to commit suicide and was not successful at it, and then when they looked into it he was just like, I don't know, just listen to a bunch of Ozzy. And then the media just like blows up and they're just like, Ozzy Osbourne it's responsible like, for almost killing a kid.
That's like not a thing anymore.
But what Ozzy Osbourne song is like
yeah
makes you want to kill yourself?
Crazy
like, I would
train?
Think maybe like You might want to kill other people to it, but that's a reach, right?
Yeah,
there.
Well, yeah.
All of it is a fucking reach.
Did you? So you grew up in Baton Rouge.
Yeah.
And your entire upbringing. So like, till when? When did you move out?
I moved to New Orleans when I was like 20. I got a DUI when I was 20.
In Baton Rouge.
In New Orleans.
Oh shit! Yeah.
First date. Another really bad first date.
Oh, God.
That sounds like
I did
like
make
the
out
worst.
With her in the back of the cop car, though, so that's pretty
Jesus
cool.
Jesus Christ.
My God, that's like a romance.
I don't know what happened. I was leaving an engagement party, and I had like fucking a mile to go. Literally a mile.
This is the worst.
And it was like,
this is the worst.
It was like June, and the girl's like, can we stop by my place? I'm cold. I want to get a sweater. And I was like, okay.
How long had you known her?
It was the first date.
This is the, so you didn't.
She was my sister's roommate.
Okay. All right.
So it was already kind of like taboo.
Yeah, you're already.
It's great.
Yeah.
So exciting.
And we're leaving, and right before, I have like an older brother that's kind of like, was like, would beat you up and make you do things you didn't want to do.
Handsome?
That's an older brother.
Yeah. He's a good looking guy, I guess.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, George, me and Hope are leaving.
Wait, your older brother's name's George?
Yeah.
I like this, dude.
You like this story all of a sudden? You were like the bully.
I was like, all right, George, me and Hope are leaving. And he's like, no, not till you do these fucking shots. And he gets like 4 shots of Jaeger. And we have like a pitcher of beer. So I slam all these shots. And then I decide it's a really good idea to get behind the wheel of my car. And I am driving down the street. And I don't know what happens. But somehow I'm driving a Jeep Wrangler. I drive up the hood of a parked Camaro.
What?
It's like parallel parked. I drive up the hood of it. And I go off the back of it and land on top of another car.
You ramped a Camaro.
It's like monster truck rally.
Wow.
And so
this sounds like a fucking Dukes of Hazzard episode.
No, because they get away. My back 2 wheels were on the back of this Camaro. My front 2 wheels were on this other car. Thank God the other car was an abandoned car, so I didn't have to pay for that one. But I put my rear view mirror through the windshield with my head.
Oh.
This poor little girl's next to me in my passenger seat. And so I don't know what has just happened. I'm kind of like out of it. And I open my door up and I fall 5 feet to the ground.
Yeah.
The worst thing about it is it happened right in front of the police station. So the police literally walked out the front door.
They just walked up to your car.
They picked me up off the ground.
And then they just walked you in.
They brought me and her in.
Easiest collar in history.
Yeah. And then they had to bring me to where the breathalyzer was, and they were going to drop her off. So we're both in the back. They bring her to her place. They let me make out for like 10 seconds.
Oh, yeah. I get
it's still and then, romantic, and then, as and disastrous as it is.
The worst thing about it was I probably wouldn't have blown if I didn't get that kiss, because I was like, I got to blow so I can get out of this thing.
Yeah.
This
go
chick's
upstairs.
Waiting for me. Terrible idea.
Terrible. This is the worst idea ever.
And then I was in jail for 32 hours. They lost record of me being in there.
Oh, no. And fuck you.
OPP,
this is just getting worse.
Yeah, it's like a nightmare. Literally. And Orleans Parish Prison is like one of the fucking worst in America.
Oh, God.
And so I was in the holding cell. I got in there at 9 o'clock at night. It was early.
Oh.
And
how terrible. Like, had you been in a jail cell before?
Never.
Oh, my God.
I called my dad, who's also George. Called my dad, and I was like, Dad, he got the collect call. It's like, you have a collect call from an OPP inmate?
Oh, Jesus.
That's the worst call to a parent.
Goes, hello? I said, Dad, I got a DWI. And he just hung up.
Wow.
He's kind of a hard ass.
Yeah, a lot of Georges will do that.
Yeah.
I'll hang up on any of y'all.
And so, like, at noon the next day, the cops come around, and they're, like, giving us our bologna sandwiches. I was like, I've been in here since 9 o'clock. Like, what's up? Like, what's going on? And they go, 9 o'clock? That's only 3 hours. And they walk away.
You're like, no.
They come back around at, like, 8 o'clock at night. I was like, I've been in here since 9 o'clock last night. And the guy's like, all right, well, what's your name? I tell him. He comes back, like, 3 hours later. He's like, we don't have any record of you being in here. Like, what are you in here for?
He's like, I just dropped something and then failed to pick it up.
I should have said, like, pissing in the street or something. Yeah. But I said DWI or DUI. And
they're like, thanks, we'll start the paperwork.
Exactly. And they go, but you've been in here for 24 hours in the holding cell, so we have to move you into general population.
Jesus.
Oh, God, you're kidding.
But I made friends with this dude, Kendall Henson, who is a heroin dealer in the Marrero housing projects in New Orleans.
What?
He had a big fro, gold teeth, and he kind of like looked after me in there. All the brothers in there love me.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, you're fucking
charismatic. I had a great story of why I was in there.
Yeah,
it was hilarious.
Ramping a Camaro.
Yeah, yeah.
And I spent like, I think it was like 34 hours in jail.
Holy shit.
Because my dad wasn't going to bail me out.
I'd love to be one of the guys in there being like, all I sold was a key of like cocaine. That's all I did to get in there. So you spent that time in there. What were the, like, tell me about that, because I know that, like, I had a friend who experienced a 48-hour stay, and it felt to him like 2 months.
Didn't eat the whole time.
Yeah.
Never ate anything.
Never, not a single thing.
No. Did you?
Oh, fuck. Because that experience.
Man, there's mind control shit in there for you. Believe that.
That's not. No, just, I won't. Nobody should
mind control.
That.
They have like tiny nanobots and shit in their bologna sandwiches that track your.
That sounds. Well, that sounds like our tax dollars.
Yes, sir.
What are they called? Nanotechnology.
Yes, nanotech.
Nanotech. Yeah. So, like, my question is, did you feel like, and you said this is one of the most dangerous prisons or whatever, did you feel immediately a sense of, like, here's this sect? Like, were there groupings? Was there any of that going on?
If I didn't meet Kendall Henson, it would have been a really bad...
Shit.
It would have been a really bad ending for me in there, I believe.
I think probably right. I know that my friend had an immediate problem with somebody, like an immediate thing, and was like, I'm just going to stay in my bunk.
And I made fun of the first white person they put in.
Perfect, dude. Perfect.
Completely dogged him out.
Yes, sir.
Really?
Oh, absolutely.
He's like, get out of here, honky bitch. And he's just like looking at you like, come on, man.
Just like,
I just got a DUI. Trying to get laid. What's your deal?
Now, I have to ask the question. Did you ever date this girl afterwards?
No.
This girl never, ever wanted to see Bob again.
Never.
Did you have run-ins with the law when you were a kid?
No.
Nothing?
Nothing.
Good.
I mean, I just got away with stuff.
Okay, yeah. So you got away with a little bit of, like, action, but you never ran from the cops or anything like that?
No. No, and like high school parties when they busted, yeah.
Right, of course. We all did, yeah.
Cops are for running from.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what they're
especially in high school,
for.
Yeah. Especially in high school. They knew it, too. Because I can imagine cops...
Come on, running up to like 14-year-olds, 15-year-olds, and being
in
like...
a house party.
Guys, party's over! Get over here! You know those little fuckers are going to run because they're faster.
And you got kids and shit.
They should change their slogan from like serve and protect to like what should it be? Like?
Freak out and be shitty. Freak out and mess you up.
Was that area, like, in terms of like getting away with stuff, it was pretty easy, like Baton Rouge?
Well, first of all, the drinking age didn't change there. I was legal at 18 to drink.
Oh,
we
did
were
you
the
have
last
the drive-through
state.
Shits? Did you have
oh,
those?
Yeah. Oh yeah, they still
dude.
Do.
Dude, those are in Texas. They have like mega drive-through things where you roll up, you can get cakes thrown onto the top of your car.
They have drive-through daiquiri shops.
Yeah, like, yeah.
So they give you the cup with a lid with the straw. Like, start drinking it.
Yeah,
and drive out of here.
Yeah. Like,
that's
luck.
Fucking crazy.
It's the best.
Of course you're going to get a DUI. Of course you are. It should just be like a rite of passage.
It's set up.
Everyone in my family has one.
No shit.
Everyone.
Even George?
I think.
Senior?
I really do.
Oh, my dad, I don't know. They didn't really give DUIs out then.
Yeah, that's true.
Jeez.
There used to be a day, man. There used to be a day where like, and just be like, go home, George.
Yeah, exactly. Like, okay. Walk it off, buddy.
He did get arrested. Spider right here.
Oh yeah, there's just a spider.
It's LA.
My dad did get arrested for. He went to LSU.
Okay.
Louisiana State University. He did get arrested for trying to lead the Tiger marching band. Tried to lead them into
without
Tiger Stadium with a handle of like Jim Beam or some type of whiskey.
Wow.
And he like. stormed into like where the band was like marching through, and he like tried to like be like the leader.
Follow me.
And they're like, oh wait,
this guy seems legit. Get your trumpets out.
Hey, is that incredible. George? That's follow incredible. George.
Did you?
Good for him, man.
Did you ever have an experience like that in college? Did you ever like wait? I remember waking up somewhere unexpectedly. Do you ever?
Yeah. I mean, of course.
Yeah. The whole deal is figuring out where you are every yeah, morning.
Kind of. George, did you ever go to Ocean City?
Ocean City, Maryland?
Yeah.
You dang right.
What is Ocean City?
It's where everybody goes, like, in Maryland, it's just coastal Ocean City. It's right near Delaware, I guess. It's got a huge boardwalk. Where the pooch is from?
Yeah, the most punch.
The punch.
The Delaware punch.
Talbert punch?
Delaware punch.
Yeah.
Delaware punch.
What is that, when you knock somebody out that's white?
Yeah. The drink, dude. You've never had Delaware punch?
No, I'll take one right now.
Where you got it?
No, I went with like rascals.
Yeah,
all the
always
time. I was always going with rascals that would walk up
older
and down.
Older than you, probably.
Totally. Yep. Walk up and down the boardwalk. I always wanted to play. There was this WWF video game at the fucking arcade.
Yep.
And I was always just like, God, I just want to go and play that for hours. But instead, we would walk up and down and, you know, girls, look at girls, mm-hmm. and then like Mad Dog dads.
Fights.
Pretty much. Yeah. There were always fights.
Always fights.
And everybody had a knife, but like you wouldn't pull it out because you just like hit somebody and then people would start freaking out and crying and there were cops everywhere.
It was like a really weird, like Daytona Beach.
Yeah. It's like a low budge Daytona.
Yeah.
Probably.
Did y'all go to Daytona Beach?
No. I went to it. Yeah.
In Florida.
Yeah.
That's like the Redneck Riviera.
Yeah. It's a spectacular display of disgusting redness.
When did beads start, man? Because the whole titty for beads thing.
Guys, I just went to the Playboy Jazz Fest. I am not trying to brag, but if it comes out that way, so be it. But in the Playboy Jazz Fest, I saw a young, not a young, maybe in his 40s or whatever, and he had an armful of what would be like New Orleans beads, mm-hmm. right? And he was tossing them to everybody, and it was at the Hollywood Bowl, and he was tossing, and they were loving it.
Yeah,
it was beads, like beads,
free little weird reason. Cheap plastic ass beads.
They do it,
but it's weird out here.
Yeah,
like somebody at Public House, Bud Light girls came and they had like these blue fucking Mardi Gras beads. And someone was like, hey man, you're from New Orleans, we could probably see some titties with these. I'm like, dude, those are like the fucking, those are beads that I won't even, like, if they come flying at me off a float, I'm like, moving my hand away from them. Because they're like the shittiest beads. When you like grow up in that area,
yeah,
you become a bead snob. And you're not getting any titties with some of these fucking beads that like people around here are like, I can get some titties with these.
Like, nah,
what's,
hang that
what's
on your
top tier titty beads?
You need pearls.
Pearl, real ass pearls from a clam.
The way you just said pearls was precious. Pearls.
You need pearls. You need them to be big.
Okay.
Like,
the bigger the better.
Sometimes if you can get stuff with like
gold,
like figurine, like, but yeah, gold's all right.
Y'all, oh, you're right, because I've seen
like figurines and
like
stuff.
Charms, big charms.
Charms.
Look at that pearl with the charms for your titties.
Are you auditioning for Matthew McConaughey's role in True Detective?
Yeah. I want to get that role that he already shot out.
Did you because this is interesting. Growing up in Baton Rouge, there's a lot of like, well, at least what we were bringing up was that Ocean City, Maryland was like kind of a spring break retreat for all the kids that were growing up in Delaware.
It was like
Maryland,
kids like dropping out on K holes.
K holes. Like,
for kids.
Yeah, and they would just be a mess. There would just be bodies on bodies. It was weird. But did you have, was there a destination for like spring break and all that
Fort
stuff?
Fort Walton.
Ah, I don't even know anything about
it. Is it a fort?
No. I think it, like it used to be.
Yeah.
Back in the one of the wars.
Back in our war.
It definitely wasn't Civil War. It must have been, I think it might have been like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But 1812 or something like that.
So you in this area, did they have like a row of bars and all that stuff?
No, it was more you just go and party it up, and because like you can't get into bars at that age. Like this is high school.
Yeah.
So you can't get into bars at that age. So you just bring a bunch of booze and drugs. I remember my senior year. So my older brother, George, he
sounds like a menace.
Was an absolute like party animal. Like, was wild. And we got him and three of his friends to be our chaperones our senior year.
Oh, no.
And he's like 6 years older than us. We were going down there for like 5 days. Everybody, we had a communal, like 30 cases of beer, 13 gallons of hard liquor.
Jesus.
And then everyone else brought like their own like private cases of
beer. Right, where they wanted to sneak.
And we're moving all of our shit in to the second floor at this place called The Breakers. And it had just been destroyed the year before. Like, it had been destroyed and rebuilt after Hurricane Ivan.
Wow.
And it was right on the beach. And we're moving our stuff into the second floor. And we're right above, like, you go up the staircase, boom, you're at our room.
Uh-huh.
On the first floor, I noticed these other people were moving their stuff in.
Okay,
I saw a giant bag, like a pound of weed, sitting on this table.
Good gracious.
But nobody was in that room. And like I kept passing it, and the door was open. And finally, I was just like, "Fuck it!" I just reached in, grabbed it off the kitchen table, and brought it upstairs to our room.
No way!
But our room was an absolute like the party room. Like people would come to our room with like a empty solo cup and be like, "Can I give you $10 for some vodka?" Like, here you go, beat it.
Wow, you're running basically.
We
a speakeasy.
Were running like a speakeasy. And we were listening to, I still remember this spring break like it was yesterday. We were listening to Parliament, We Want the Funk, was like the song for that spring break.
That's the song.
God. It was crazy. I had that room. We caused so much damage to the room. Like there was a hole in the wall. One of my friends, this guy Brady, was drinking like one of those 5 gallon buckets of like bottles of Gatorade. Oh, and he poured like half out and just filled the rest of it with like rum. And it was red.
Kids are knuckleheads.
And he a bunch of knuckleheads.
Just a bunch of knuckleheads.
Around.
Yeah.
He drank all of that one night and he just threw up everywhere in the bathroom. It looked like someone had stuck like a fucking stick of dynamite in a dog. Because it was just, he threw up red shit everywhere in this bathroom.
God,
these guys
damn.
Like rammed their heads into the wall. We had a giant hole in the wall. To leave, we had to pay $2,000.
To walk out of there.
We had to like replace the kitchen table, the walls, the carpet. And so a lot of people got fucked over with this stuff. So people got wise to it. And they're like, all right, well, if I'm having to buy a new kitchen table for you, I'm going to take this with us.
Absolutely,
so
yeah.
They cut like 10-foot squares in the carpets that they were having to replace just to make sure that the breakers were actually going to
replace the shit. Yeah.
That's
good for them,
incredible.
Man. Good for them.
Yeah, it's like
that's some high-thinking like little delinquent fuckers.
God damn it.
I remember drinking in Ocean City, Maryland senior week, which is when you're graduating high school and everybody goes there.
You're allowed to skip,
die.
Almost, right?
Yeah, they let you go for like the last week and you go to Ocean City for the whole time. And we tried to drink 20 shots of vodka each in like one evening together before we hit the boardwalk. Yeah.
How'd that work out for you?
It was great. It was great. I think. It was great.
I don't know. I've been replaced. My body has been replaced.
Yeah, I think I puked on a bus, but not like in a bus. I think I walked up to a bus and puked on the bus. Just like, bah!
The bus was like moving and you was driving by and you just, bah!
I think instead of getting hit by the bus, I puked on it preemptively. But there are some weird ass party times. Opelousas, Louisiana.
How do you know about Opelousas?
Because
that's where Molly's from.
Yeah, I know that. And that's an incredible, I've never met anybody else from Opelousas. My time there was about 8 days long. It was me getting into my 1973 Ford Econoline van that had only two seats in it. The rest of it was just a bucket. Like, I had two captain's chairs. I'd put this
just
van.
Hollowed out.
It was empty. Yeah. It was empty. I put two captain's seats that swirled. The only reason I put them in this van is because they swirled all the way around.
They sound like.
And it was a driver's seat.
Yeah, it was a driver's seat. I swear to God. I swear to God. You had to lock it into place.
Sounds like you screwed down some bar stools.
You're pretty much. It happened. And it was like a three on the tree, three speed.
Yeah.
And I drove that from Austin to a little bit outside Austin, picked up a one-legged man named Jack, and then picked up a couple other dudes, elderly engineer guys.
Where and how?
And a woman named Reckless. And we drove to Opelousas to help with a barn raising, which to this day is the first and only barn raising I've ever been a part of, because I was for a long time in Austin involved in this pirate radio shit for Free Radio Austin. Not shit. Pirate radio extravaganza.
That sounds awesome, actually.
It was the best years of my life. But we went there. It was the first legal, instead of calling it pirate, they called it micro radio. It was like sub 100 watt.
This is awesome.
And we went to Opelousas to help with some, like, you know, some shitty church.
Did this one-legged man know that he was going to help raise a fucking barn?
Yeah, Jack was, dude, this guy was like, he was a brilliant, brilliant engineer slash electrician slash everything. He could do everything.
So they were willing.
Yeah.
Oh, they knew that they were going.
I didn't kidnap these old people. And we went there, stayed there for the whole 8 days. This town is literally separated by a fucking set of train tracks. And this side is
bad news.
African, and this side is Anglo.
Oh, no way.
Tony Satchery plant seemed like the only fucking viable business in the town. There was a strip that looked like Main Street, but then you walk through Main Street and it's like boards, and you're just like, where is everybody? It was fascinating.
Ghost town.
In a sense, yeah, because there were still a lot of people that lived there, and met some of the most amazing people raising this barn for this weird church organization, and hanging out and just like building fires right next to the train tracks.
What,
just
in what way?
In Louisiana is the only type of place where that shit happens.
Yeah.
It's the only place that's raw enough to where you get that fertile sort of culture of hanging out, listening to music. You go to this, we went to a little Zydeco bar one night, and man, it's just a jam town.
Yeah.
And
Zydeco is a trip. Ooh, as a musical format, it's a trip.
Fucking wild.
Yeah, it's really something. And like, so are you a fan? You're obviously a huge fan of music, right?
Yeah, yeah, I love music. Zydeco, there's Zydeco and there's Cajun, and there's a difference. Like, it's the rhythm and the beat. But
Cajun have that steel shit.
Yeah.
That like
it's I can't do like the beat countdown.
Here, I'll do that beat countdown. Really gone. Yeah, sound chair, sound chair and gowns.
Is that Wayne Tubes?
Oh yeah, it's my man.
I listen to Zydeco music, and it's very unique. There is nothing like it. I don't know if where does it originate from? Like, what is the?
I don't know.
No,
it's French, but it's so specific to Louisiana.
Yeah.
Like, if I go to a crawfish boil.
Yeah.
Which I went to one in Venice, I guess, like a couple months ago.
That's when you suck the turds out of fish.
Yeah, don't listen to him. Don't listen to him, because like I've only been to one.
Both of these fuckers just put me on freeze.
Yeah,
I was like, you guys both were like,
to let it be known that both Andrew and I, the other Andrew, both put their finger up like, hold up.
Just like, hold on, idiot.
Because that shit is kind of the best.
That's great.
Tastes like shrimp? What is it?
Tastes like lobsters, dude.
It's basically like a small lobster.
Yeah.
But we boil it in like seasoning. And
why don't we call them bugs, I wonder?
They are called mud bugs.
Mud bugs?
Yeah, that's what we call them in Louisiana.
Suck the butt out of that mud bug.
You suck the head.
Ah, suck the head off that mud bug.
You suck the head, pinch the tail.
Pinch the tail?
Pinch the tail.
Yeah, I learned it, and boy, is it delightful, have to say.
You suck the head off a mud bug?
They dump a bunch of them in front of you.
On
just
a table.
Hold, it's just like a table. I know this is gross, and yeah, George,
No. I'm from Maryland where the blue crab reigns.
Yeah, reigns supreme, yeah.
And it's the same thing. You get a bushel, and then they pour it on your
head.
You
don't eat seafood either?
No. Fuck with anything with, like, eyeballs, dude.
Nothing. Nothing.
No, if it's got, like, and a little mouth that I can pinch.
What about quinoa? It looks like little tiny eyeballs.
Little curlicues.
It does.
I should stop eating quinoa.
It actually is really bad for, like, really poor South American countries that Americans are really, like,
exporting the shit out of it. And it's
because,
like,
it makes it more expensive for them, and that's what they fucking live off of.
Yeah.
Oh, that's way to go. Fucking
I'll
terrible.
Send them some rice.
I hate to hear stories like that. That bothers the shit out of me because it's, like, trends that bum out other countries.
That Fiji water thing that happened when everyone was, like, drinking Fiji
what
water.
Happened?
Well, like, people in Fiji can't afford water now or something. Like,
it's
horrible.
Awful. Good.
Yeah.
It's damn Fiji people.
It's awful
on, Fiji
me.
People.
It move is terrible. Do you? What do you miss most about home?
Oh, I guess the food, man.
The food, huh?
I the culture, too. New Orleans is like, it has more culture on its toenail than L.A. does.
Yeah, before. Yeah, yeah. Interesting.
Than most places.
Yeah. That's interesting, like, yeah.
Nothing's weird there. Mm. Like, you can be fucking walking down the street, and there's some dude that's just dressed like a pirate, and it's just because that's what he fucking wears. It isn't because he's going to sit at the Chinese theater and fucking get you to pay him to take a picture with him.
Right, yeah. Right. Dress up like Johnny
Depp.
It's
just what he wears.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, that's
and you don't like look at him twice. You're like, oh, it's the pirate dude. Whatever.
Fuck.
Don't look at him twice. Just look at him once. It's the pirate dude.
Incredible.
Wait, that's Johnny Depp. When's the last time you met?
I went back for French Quarter Fest in April 15th.
How's French Quarter Fest different? Is that
it's like a locals
cursor to?
It's before Jazz Fest. Oh. It's after Mardi Gras, but it's kind of like a locals thing. Although it's, you know, tourists are starting to get wise to it.
When do people stop partying there?
Never.
Okay,
dude. It's like Mardi Gras. Then there's like Po' Boy Fest, Oyster Fest, Shrimp Fest, French Quarter Fest, Jazz Fest. Last weekend they had Tomato Fest. They just love a festival.
That sounds so great. I love
never
it.
Ends.
I love it. The I best. Love it. What's have you been overseas? Have you traveled a bit? Or?
Yeah, I've been to Europe and England, Scotland.
Anything stand out to you?
Scotland's really cool.
Yeah?
Yeah.
For what reasons?
It's just the architecture there is amazing. Like,
yeah.
The people are really cool, but you see buildings that are like 1800 years old, and then next door to it is a building that is so futuristic looking. It looks like it shouldn't be built for another 1800 years.
That's
and they're just next to each other.
Butted up against.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
it's
fucking
just
great.
Really cool. London's great.
Yeah.
Fucking expensive.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Really expensive.
Not for me.
No.
Why not?
Because I own pounds.
No.
I get paid in pounds. No.
Quid?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's what I meant. Quids. I got shitloads of quids.
So, I'm curious. What got you into art direction? Like, how
did
that...
You want me to tell you?
I do.
It's going to date me really bad.
Do it, man. I really like it. I like it.
Because of Weezer?
No.
Okay.
I answered a MySpace bulletin.
This is already amazing.
MySpace, like, you could do these bulletins, and someone, my buddy Jeremy, was like, does anybody want to be an art PA on a reality show?
No shit.
Which ended up being Trading Spouses.
No shit.
Yeah. What?
And so I answered this MySpace bulletin.
That's amazing. PA'd?
Yeah, PA'd, but the guy, one of the main guys in the art department, broke his ankle the first day. And so I basically was no longer a PA, and I did more than I was supposed to. And then that same guy, Jeremy, after that show was over and he traveled the country doing it or whatever, he came back to Louisiana and he was doing a movie and he asked me to be the on-set dresser, and I just kind of worked my way up.
Yeah. Wow.
I went to school, got a degree in business.
Yeah.
Nothing
on purpose?
Yeah. Yeah. Tried architecture. They were like, you have to spend a lot of time in the lab. I was but I want to go out. Can't do that.
Is architecture, that sounds like it's one of your loves.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
So I grew up in Baton Rouge, but my dad is from New Orleans, so I'd go to New Orleans a whole bunch. When you see architecture like that over there, I mean, you notice it, and you're like, wow, that's interesting. And then you go to Baton Rouge, and everything is like the same.
Right.
So,
or here, like the architecture here isn't necessarily inspiring.
No.
It's fairly drab.
Yeah, and it's fairly stolen. A lot of the stuff that you see that you're like, oh, that's pretty. It's like, oh, that's from Spain.
Yeah. Mediterranean,
Spanish and Mediterranean architecture here is like, I didn't like it that much at all when I first came out here. I thought it was fucking cheap looking. And,
yeah.
But I'm starting to get more into it. I'm here.
It's the weather. It beats you down.
Yeah, I guess
so. Yeah, it beats you down.
You'll be sleepy soon. Don't worry.
So you answered this. Did you already do this kind of stuff? I'm curious because it does seem like a skill set needs to be there.
I mean, in the arts department, you're really just putting out fires. You're finding quick solutions to fix stuff.
And to me, that still comes from something. Did you figure, like, did it come from childhood? Did it come from, like, a quick hand at, like, making stuff? Did it come from your father?
Is it just from being a hustler? Like, have you had...
Yeah.
What's your shittiest job?
Yeah, good question.
My first job was probably my shittiest job. When I, like I told you earlier, my dad was kind of a hard ass.
Yeah.
He woke me up first day of summer after seventh grade. And like he's like, it's like 5 a.m. He's like, Andrew, come on, we're going for a ride. I was like, okay. Well, like rubbing the sleep out of my eyes. Like, are we going to get donuts? Like, what the fuck are we going to do?
Are we going to hunt a human, Dad?
He brings me to a gas station, Meriwether's Mobile. And he drops me off there. And he's like, get out. Here's your job. I was like, what? Like, all my other friends are watching cartoons or whatever. And they had a shirt that already had my name tag on it. It was completely premeditated.
What?
Holy
shit. He had organized his job.
Set you up, dude.
It's a setup, dude.
I worked a full-service gas station where I'd, like, check people's oil level, pump gas, check their tire pressure.
Wipe windows and shit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
This is the worst.
That's so real.
But it also taught me, which, like, most kids would be like, God, it was a total dick to make me do that. I've never really asked for a dollar from him ever since. Like, it taught me, like, the value of a dollar and making it and earning it.
That's fucking awesome, man.
That's strange, man. I had the same first job, full service gas station attendant, but with my dad.
Oh, no.
Yeah, because he was a cop at the time, so he'd moonlight as a overnight at a 24-hour, Amoco gas station in Maryland, and I would just go with him, and we watched this little black and white TV, and he'd send me out to hit the cars up every now and again. So I'd be like, "Hello, sir," and he'd be like, "Fill her up."
You're 13 years old, and at 3 a.m. Isn't there child labor laws?
Dude, I was like younger than 13, man. I was like 9 or 10.
No shit?
Yeah, and it was bizarre. I had no idea what money, I had no idea how to calculate anything. So I'd be like, here you go, here's 20 for that $14 fill up. And I'd be like, thank you, goodbye. And they'd be like, yo, get your father, dipshit. He just got it.
Did they have the little cable that they'd run over?
Yeah.
Ding, ding.
Yeah. Totally.
Dude, I used to hear that thing in my fucking
In your nightmares?
How long did you work that job for?
7th to 11th grade.
Holy shit.
Just blew my mind. That blows my mind.
And it was like a very popular gas station in Baton Rouge. So like kids that I went to school with would ride in with their parents and run over the little ding ding, and then I would be out there like,
how you doing?
Yeah,
like being like Tim,
seeing my
up?
Classmates, and we had this bucket that always had Dum Dums and like bazooka gum.
Yeah,
that we'd have to like give to like the kids,
your homies,
and so I'd have to fucking hook my friends up with.
And Dum-Dums. That was brutal, right? Having to throw your homies fucking freebies. Yeah.
As their parents were like, look at Andrew. He's such a good boy.
He's working, Will. Why aren't you working?
Yeah. Holy shit. And so, like, is that the worst job you've ever had?
I had a lot of, like, one-day jobs.
Yeah, like, you got fired immediately?
I just never went back.
Yeah.
I worked at Hooters for one day.
No shit.
Just one?
Just one.
Hmm.
I realized the chicks were not going to be into the cook, and I was like,
yeah.
I got this job for the wrong reason. Yeah, I cooked for a while. I loved it though.
I did
there
too.
There were no Hooters. It was a lot of fun, man. Like being back there and in this, like, because the cooks are all like the background. It's like the underground sort
of camaraderie back there.
Absolutely, oh, man. You get that rush of like.
I miss that rush.
I do too. That line rush of knowing that, you know, it's the dinner hour
and it's
or
coming.
2 hours, and you know it's coming, and you're prepped. You
got fly like that.
Yeah, it does. You sweat your ass off into people's food. They just think it's salt. They still eat it.
Gross.
And I know the best
but they
drugs.
Do. They
in
all
the kitchen.
Eat it. Yeah,
yeah. Everybody eats it. Nobody even.
And
knows
you get wasted though, because yes. Like all the places I would work, like this one place. They kept in the walk-in cooler. You had all your food to the left, and you had all your beer to the right. And they had like the like wire metal racks, and so it worked out perfectly where you could stick a beer bottle between the two pieces of wire, and you could pop
it.
And so you would chug a beer in the fucking cooler, and then you just put the top back on and set it in the case.
Yep.
And the bartenders knew what was going on, and they were cool with you because you could hook them up with food.
Yeah.
As a bartender, I just went into the kitchen. Working places, and you just had a moment where you connected with them, and they were like, "You're gonna bring me booze, uh-huh. and I'm gonna bring you food."
Burgers.
And that was it.
Unspoken.
And if you didn't know, you're an idiot, and you became a square, and it was immediately you're out. If you did, it was done.
Dude, my executive chef's name was Cowboy. My sous chef, the guy under him, his name was Turbo. So I was working for a cowboy and a turbo, and I'm a dipshit. So I was just like,
cowboy,
this is
turbo,
the,
and dipshit. I watched that show.
That's three famous people, and I was the happiest.
Were you a vegan at this point?
No, fuck no, man. This is when I was like 260, 270, 280.
Damn. No.
Because I was just eating
constantly.
Everything and constantly, and drinking, and and enjoying my life. Remember those days?
No, we don't.
Do you still cook now?
Yeah, I cook it. Well, you kind of have to now with my eating.
You're
habits.
A damn fine cook.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, and you're a damn fine. Jesus Christ,
jeez,
Andrew.
Man, that jambalaya from the first time that we ever met. I went in there and I'd been smelling it all day. I looked at everybody at their apartment that day.
Everybody was trying to be polite about it,
man.
Too, and
smiles
leave it
on the face.
Yeah,
I picked around some of that shit. I'm not gonna lie, I ate some of that rice. I'm not gonna lie to myself or the.
Everybody was trying to be polite about it. I remember everybody there was just like, "Did you have a serving?" Like, because they were just constantly.
It
was like Oliver Twist at a certain point. That was comedy.
Had you helped yourself?
Have you gotten your portion? Because I want to go back.
It was so good. What kind of restaurant did you cook at that you liked?
I worked at this place called Chelsea's, which is fucking really good food.
New Orleans or Baton Rouge?
It's Baton Rouge, but. The chef was this guy, Mike Reinhart, was just kind of like a tragic genius when it came to cooking. He's a terrible alcoholic.
Yeah,
but
man.
But he could really cook.
That's really common in this kitchen.
Really common, yeah.
And he came up with the menu, and this place, Chelsea's, went from kind of being like, didn't get a lot of business to all of a sudden it was like the fucking place to
be.
That's
awesome.
And I was the first cook he hired. So I learned everything from him. Like, I learned how to bake bread. Like, he made this homemade focaccia bread. Like, I learned everything from him.
Yeah.
And like an idiot, he wanted out. And he got a really good opportunity in Nashville. And he sold his recipes to the guy that owned Chelsea's for like $10,000. Now that guy has three locations.
Of course.
And is just making.
Hand over fist.
Oh, my God. Off of that menu.
Yeah, that's
insane. I really do feel this way. If you keep I'm sure Gordon Ramsay or whatever. I don't. Do you watch the shows and all that stuff?
I watch like Top Chef.
Yeah.
And Chopped.
And
And have you seen Knife Fight?
No, is that good?
That's where ninjas cook each other meals.
It's this guy, like Elon something. He owns. A place in downtown LA. What's it called? Can't remember the name. Gorbals is what it's called.
Mm-mm.
And Esquire Network has a show called Knife Fight.
Oh yeah.
And for a while,
that's right,
he would have like badass chefs like once a month come to his kitchen after hours, and they would just all get wasted, and he would give like two chefs the run of the mill of his kitchen and give them three ingredients that they had to use, and who could turn out the most meals that were the fucking awesomest in 1 hour.
No kidding.
And so Esquire Network got wind of this, and they gave him his show, and it's just all badass LA chefs, and they let like a crowd of people in there, and people just drink and watch these guys cook, and these guys just do shots with the crowd, and they cook awesome stuff. That's a great show.
That's great. I gotta check it out. I've seen the trailer for it, and I'm fascinated.
We could go to it. Like we could go. Yeah. I would love to figure out how to get to just be a person in the crowd and watch these dudes serve it up.
Let's fucking do it. The thing I've realized, all of us have worked service. And that's a really interesting thing. I really do. I think
everyone should do it at some point.
I really believe that. I really think that everybody at one point in their life should have to work service to
and
know
do
how
mushrooms.
To treat people and to do
while.
Mushrooms.
Yeah.
But
while
I do feel like if you do simple things like well, you will gain a following. But it's about simplicity. I think so. Like, do you feel that? Do you have the same kind of like mentality about it
when it comes to cooking?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah,
you can overcomplicate things, and
absolutely.
To me, it's like, I don't know. I think it's a. I think you just can step over too many flavors and tastes if you do that.
Yeah,
like everything that I cook is very, very simple. I don't know. I could sit and talk about cooking.
Oh, buddy, let's
do
it. You
want to do a cooking podcast?
I would love to. I would fucking love to, actually. It's really interesting. This guy is like a secret genius when it comes to cooking.
I was, when I was cooking meat, it was a hell of a lot easier. At the Ramshead Tavern in Savage Mill, it was like I started on the fryer, banged that shit out, then moved to oven. Started to, like, when you get high on that rush of that experiential, like, collective energy in a kitchen, where it's just like, I need you to make that bed of fucking whatever,
and yeah,
so that
no
I can play that shit on it.
There's no, like, you're bottom line in it with people. You're like, I need this now, do that.
Yeah. It's a lot like production.
No feelings are getting hurt.
Yeah. Totally. You know that the rush is on, you got to get the fucking shot off, or you got to get this played out. In the same way, with the same intensity.
It is a lot of like production. Yeah.
And then totally. When it's delivered, it's got to be pretty, or you're going to get fucking reamed for that. And I always remember seeing the wait staff, which I'd never done. I'd only cooked.
That's all I did.
And then I bartended later in Texas.
Okay.
But never having waited tables, it made me like... I saw the disdain, and I didn't participate in it.
Yeah,
but like I got it. Like we were in the back, we were burning our asses off.
I always enjoyed
sweating.
It. Yeah, I and saw you guys like
guys coming in, being like, "Hey, where's my asparagus tubes?"
That's exactly
like,
that was
fuck
me.
Yeah. You.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah.
I feel bad for some of the stuff. Like we would go off on some waiters and waitresses.
You have that freedom though, kind of. I mean, not to mistreat people, but to like let them know, like, hey, you're making the money. You are like the service person is making that tip, and you tip out the fucking kitchen bullshit.
Yeah.
I remember very quickly.
If you do it all,
I learned some lessons, some really hard lessons in terms of like preparation, because I would send orders via some computer bullshit, and then I'd be like, oh shit, there's a modification I forgot.
Oh, sorry about the.
You were one of those.
Yeah, I was one of those assholes, fucker. And I'd come back there, and they would be like, fuck you.
Yeah.
Fuck you, man. Because what you did was just ruin the whole flow of something.
Right.
And I learned that really quickly. And I
because
was like...
everything has a time that it needs to come out at.
Yeah.
And so if you forget to put in like, hey, no mushrooms in the risotto.
Oh, yeah.
And
or like, that was supposed to be everything
rare. Everything's done, and then it's like, oh, I've got to redo the risotto now, and this shit's going to get cold.
Right.
Hopefully something else, some other ticket has the same item so we can like
keep that going because that's money.
Dude,
you know?
Making, working the grill when I was an omnivore and didn't think about it at all, and taking like a New York strip and just being like, fresh. And letting that fucker get hot and then like going that quarter turn and making the perfect diamond marks on it and then flipping it, not fucking with it, not poking and letting all the juice
and
fat come out, and then just like putting it on a plate and knowing without ever having seen whoever the fucker is that's about to eat it,
yeah,
that they are about, they are so close to tasting one of the better steaks that they'll ever have in their life because I did it right.
Did you ever do this thing where it's like, that's rare?
Yeah, totally. This shit, like, cool. Yeah.
Wait, okay. You got to tell us what you're doing, by the way. We don't know.
It's so the finger technique.
If you put your thumb, the tip of your thumb and your index finger together, and then you touch like the meaty part at the bottom of your thumb,
okay,
that's rare.
All right.
If you touch your middle finger with your thumb, that's medium rare. Then your ring finger with your thumb, that's
so it shows you exactly the toughness of it.
And then that's well done.
What? It gives you that idea of like
what it's supposed to feel like.
Yeah, where the.
But once you do it for a while, like you don't even need to fucking. You're like, I know exactly what it's like.
Yeah, you can see the coloring of the flesh, man. It's so good.
Do you have a desire of, like, did you ever have that desire? Because I know I had a desire of opening a bar. Like, I wanted to open a bar so bad. Did you ever have that desire of opening a kitchen?
I owned one for a little bit.
Shit!
Did you sell it to me? Shit, what'd I do with it?
Oh, no.
Oh, fuck. I gotta move back to Baton Rouge.
Yeah, a buddy of mine that, right when I started out on film, we had worked together. And he went to culinary school and I went to business school. Yet we did all of my recipes and he worked the front of the house. Very bizarre.
Yeah, it's flipped.
But I started picking up more work and film and I sold him my half.
And now you got out of it.
Now he has three locations.
That's
as well.
Amazing. Good for him, man.
Do you have any desire to go back to do it? Do you want
to? I would love, like, if I could retire one day, if I ever fucking make enough money to do it.
No diggity.
I would love to own a restaurant again. Me and George will do one.
Yeah, man. We'll call it Basil's. Yeah, and then I'll buy you out.
Basil Bowfinger.
And then you'll have three locations.
Basil Bowfinger. Yeah. We'll be half vegan menu.
All right, I'm going to ask you, like, top three dishes. Like, what are your fucking favorite things
to eat? Cook or to eat?
Oh, there's a difference.
Oh, big time.
George?
To eat.
Yeah.
To eat, okay. There's this place in New Orleans called Lillette, and they have the best gnocchi I've ever had in my life.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Oh. And it's like a Parmesan. I'm not exactly. That's the thing. When I go eat at places, I'm really good at breaking down flavors. And so when I go eat somewhere and I eat something,
yeah,
and I can't figure out how they did it, that to me is like a really good meal.
That's mastery.
And so this like Parmesan sauce that they make with their gnocchi at Lillette, that's great. These Creole cream cheese stuffed squash blossoms at August, which is a John Besh restaurant.
You just got me. Yeah. You just got me.
John Besh is like the fucking poster boy of Southern chef.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And he does these Creole cream cheese stuffed squash blossoms that he fries. They're out of this world. And he puts it on this like pesto. But he does his pesto with, I know this, he does it with pistachios instead of
pine nuts.
Yeah.
God dang. It's
fucking amazing.
And then George just passed out.
And then
squash blossoms. That's hard enough, just that, like getting a squash blossom in a recipe. Is
he grows all of his own shit too.
Yeah.
He has farms outside of New Orleans that he grows it all.
That's what I'm talking about.
And then there's this place in New Orleans called Gautreaux's. And they have this flounder. It's a black truffle flounder. First umami I've ever had. First and only.
Really?
Yeah.
Where you just like, you're eating it and you're just like, I don't know, but my
head got really dizzy and I kind of like lost it for a second.
Yeah.
Fuck. It's like a mouth orgasm.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Only time it's ever happened.
God damn.
Oh yeah, that platter came in your mouth.
Do you remember a meal that you had, George, that you were just like, holy shit, like that still rattles your brain?
Not really, not off the top of my head. I mean, I jizz on everything. I like all the stuff. Like the New York was a place where you'd go. You could just go on a date and try a place for the mm-hmm. first time and just be like, I don't know, it's a little place. And then, you know, you're sitting at an Italian restaurant just being like, oh my God, this yeah. is ridiculous.
Yeah.
So.
Shit.
You don't find that out here. I think the food in LA is not that great.
I don't know. I've never subscribed to that feeling. Like I know that people that can come from very food centric places like New Orleans mm-hmm. or like food, you know, like places like New York. Where
that's the thing is you're coming from like an epicenter of like
yeah.
classic
culturally dominated
yeah.
food.
Like yeah,
culturally.
That's like a fucking
everything. And New York has everything from everywhere. Like you go to DC and you have these Ethiopian mm-hmm. restaurants where you're just like, what? That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I think they are here only because like this is part.
It's a metropolitan
major thing, yeah. man. Everybody yeah. that has a restaurant in New York has a restaurant here now.
Oh yeah.
And the produce, like my backyard, I grow food that's incredible. Like
yeah, it's so really good,
delicious. That it wouldn't make sense that a restaurant here just doesn't have the ability to make something as good.
I think it's that it's not as good for you back home, and it's better for you here.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there have been times where I know good and well, like I need to stop eating.
Yeah,
but I'm like,
I cannot.
I can't. There's some French bread and there's still some gravy here. I'm going to yeah. sop that up. Here, I've never found myself where I'm like, I can't stop eating. Like, the waiter will come up and be like, are you done, sir? I'm like,
yeah. Yeah.
There's a little bit left on the plate. And I'm like, yeah, go ahead, take it away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Right. Dude, I think that also, not to take away from the food anywhere else, but like, when you're eating something in New York and it's November and it's freezing piss cold outside mm-hmm. and you're kind of in this little restaurant, half of the reason is to warm the fuck up.
Yeah.
And your coat's not on and you're just wearing a sweater so you're like nice and comfortable for a second and you're eating a delicious warm meal. That warm meal is your lifeline. You are gonna eat every last bite of that thing because
yeah, you there's don't a kind of connection to survival.
Kinda.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas here, it's like it's still sunny outside.
Yeah, it's like I can go outside.
Yeah,
there's a Koji truck.
You're gonna go outside to the Koji truck after you just had dinner. But
I think there's something to that.
I don't know. I mean, I've heard that argument before from people coming from places where the food is outstanding. Even people coming from like parts of Canada, like Montreal, we were talking about earlier, or Toronto, where I've had some amazing food.
I hear it's awesome there.
Yeah, incredible.
Can I get one?
Yeah.
I feel like I really identify with the whole.
Can you get one?
Was that jumbo or jambalaya?
Jambalaya.
Whatever. It was.
Andouille sausage.
I love the idea of boiling something in rice as you're making the rice.
Oh, yeah.
That's incredible. That's such a good idea. It just seems like I'm one of those people that's like, if you can do one thing at once while doing it, I love that. And it just comes out and it's like, you've made, you know, because like you constantly have rice where you're like, this is flavorless. This is like not, it's like rice, it's a bed of rice, it's great, and there's stuff on it, but I usually have to grab a bite of something else. But when the flavor is seeped into, oh man, that's spectacular.
Yeah.
It's really good.
I've got to say though, I've never lived in a place with such a forgiving climate where, mm-hmm. like I said, growing food here. I grew food in Texas. I grew food in New York very, very smaller scale, like much smaller, with herbs in a window box or some shit. But here, man,
you can grow anything.
Yeah, it grows itself, and the snap peas that come up are like They like nice. Crunch your ass out, and they're sweet in a way where you're like, God damn, I didn't do this. How did I do this?
Yeah. Nature, baby.
And it's
nature.
Around. Yeah, it's year round. God did you damn. Ask for one of, what did you ask for? Oh, yeah, here, I, over here. Okay, listeners, don't close your eyes too
don't
long,
close your eyes. You're ignorant
you
to
might
bliss.
See is to bliss.
Well, thank you for coming on the podcast, Andy.
Yeah, man.
I really appreciate it.
It turned into a cooking podcast.
I know. There was a solid half of it that was just all food.
It's either about me getting arrested or getting really fucking wasted.
Talking shit about your dad. Food. Yeah, you're just like, my dad's
a
hard
ass. Though.
This dude loves to cook, but he's got daddy issues.
We all do, my man. We all do. Muchacha mala, yeah, dímelo coño, how we do? Don't only love me, they love you. What you gonna do? What you gonna do? What you gonna do? Beat just come through, baby. Watch out now. Psycho blast. Watch out now. Big Joe. Watch out now. Beat nuts.
Psycho less.
Thank you for listening to Drew and George Talk to People Sometimes. That's tight.